Peace.
Studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Today's program. If you're just now tuning in, you missed everything. Goodbye. Oh, wait a minute. That was last. Hi, Cliff.
Hi there. How are you this morning?
I am pumped up, ready to go. We have weather here that is just like I finally figured out what's going on with Oregon. You know, because we have rain, then we have sun, then we have overcast, then we have rain, and then we have snow, then we have, and this is all in one day.
And all in one day, yes.
And no, I figured what it is that. See, Oregon is, now don't tell anybody this, okay, this is just between you and me, all right? Oregon's going through menopause.
Okay. That's different.
So now that I killed off Cliff and we have an opening for co-host, you can apply by dialing 646-721-9887.
Yes. Oh, boy. I did it. I dialed 646-721-9887, and I'm here, and you can hear me, so it works.
It does work. In fact, if you call that number, and if you call it right now, you will win a chance to talk with us live. Oh, boy. You only get that opportunity for 90 minutes a week. But if you call that number, push 1 on your touchpad. A little tiny. I mean, it is so small you can barely see it. Symbol comes up on my dash along with your phone number, and I say, "Welcome to the program, area code so and so," and you are live on the air, talking to a worldwide audience, permanently out on the internet. No pressure.
That and $3.50 will buy you a cup of coffee.
Oh, the price has come down.
I am so old. I can remember going to a restaurant and buying, the restaurant I'm thinking of doesn't exist anymore, called Sambo's. But anyway, and buying a cup of coffee for 10 cents.
Yeah, they were racist.
Believe it or not. Huh?
Yeah, Sambo's was racist.
I know. That's why they don't exist anymore. I think that was ridiculous, too, but they were really racist, too.
Yeah, what, that's the name. But speaking of racist, kind of getting into one of the things we're going to touch a little bit about, of course, Mitt Romney, and of course, our favorite president to critique, Obama.
You know, I have decided, I have made that decision that, I mean, I hear it from every side, the television, everybody on television, one person says, well, you can't vote for anybody, there's no way to vote for them, they're all terrible, Obama is bad, Mitt Romney is bad, you can't vote for anybody, I'm going to vote for Newt Gingrich, I'm going to write in my vote for Newt Gingrich, I swear to God, he's the one person who said what he means, who means what he said, didn't change much of anything he said, and stayed on target all the way through, and he's the one person who could fix things.
Well, I'm going to agree to disagree with you. That always sounds kind of dumb anyway. Well, I'm going to agree to disagree, whatever.
Okay.
Okay, the top priority is to not put Obama back in office. And unfortunately, and I emphasize the point, unfortunately, our only other choice is Mitt Romney. Now, I will agree with you. In fact, kind of in the title for today's episode is, has anybody seen the real Mitt Romney? What happened to the guy that was actually really aggressive to try and earn the GOP nomination? I mean, what happened to that guy? Now it's all of a sudden it's like
Wait a minute, hold your horses there. He hasn't won the GOP nomination yet. He hasn't gotten that far. He's still working at it. And he wasn't that good at the beginning. He was really laid back and didn't say much of anything. And he's finally getting fired up and getting pissed off at the things that Obama is sending at him and saying something about him. And I think he's doing exactly the right thing. He's weighing his time. He's holding his time off, holding it back, and he's going to hit him full force later on. You understand that Obama has so far spent outspent him, but he's put three times as many commercials on than Romney has. So three times as many that Obama has put on there. Romney's made, he's gathered three times as much money as Obama, but he hasn't spent it. And so he's got it there, sitting there, waiting to spend, and he's going to hit him with it, I think. And it's about time. But he's getting fed up with some of the junk that Obama, he's going to let Obama just bury himself in this diatribe of crap that he's putting out, and then he's going to come back in and he's going to hit him with the actual things that are true, and it's going to make a big difference. And I think I'm just waiting for Obama. I think he's going to swamp him. I really do. I don't think Obama has a chance.
Well, I hope you're right. Not like I said, I could be wrong. I thought Romney had the GOP nomination because I'll tell you the way he's. And I also hope that you're right with his strategy because, you know, stand back and let Obama hang himself, which, you know, Obama's already doing the dirty pull stuff, which we kind of figured that he would. Because otherwise, I'm just kind of going, Mitt, you know, come on, you need to do something here, going out there and just going, well, you know, I think I was offended and I think he should apologize.
I think he is offended. And I think he is, but you know, you can't make him apologize. He's I don't think he has the sense to apologize. I don't think he has, what is the word I'm looking for? He doesn't have the common sense. I've heard many, many times over and over again how intelligent Obama is, and I disagree. I absolutely, wholeheartedly disagree. He's not intelligent. He doesn't even know the right people to listen to. And he comes out with the wrong attitude to take. He doesn't. And anybody who listens to him, I just challenge anybody to listen to anything he says or watch any of the things he says and then pay attention to what's happening in the world. It isn't happening. The things he says don't happen. Or people don't know how to do it. And he doesn't give any. I'm upset. I'm upset. He's just a complete loss. He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know how to do it.
He's a used car salesman. He will say anything and do anything to get your vote, and that's what he's proven.
Well, used car salesmen that I've met actually have intelligence, and this man doesn't. I don't believe it. He doesn't know how to put it together.
Well, I think that's the thing. I think he knows how to put it together. He's just, like I say, he's got a strategy, and his strategy is to come out hard and say anything to and tell people what they want to hear. You know, that's part of the reason why he got elected in the first place. It was hope and change. We were tired of the Bush regime and tired of things as politics as normal. Well, he changed the we got what we asked for. He changed things, and now we're all going, we hope we can change things.
Well, you see, I don't believe that the American public, that the American people are as stupid as he thinks they are. I don't believe the American people are as stupid as he puts on. He can't feed people a line of crap, which is all he's doing, and then expect them to accept it. People do have thoughts.
That's what's happening. When I talk to people about Obamacare, most people, about 90% of the people I talk to, basically says, no, it has to go. But I do talk to one or two that, oh, yeah, I love it. It means free health care. It means this. It means my family's going to be covered. That's going to be cheaper. Have you read the bill? Well, no. I glanced at it. Have you read it in the entirety? No. Do you really know what it says? No. Do you know the fact that if you, one of the provisions in the health care, I don't have it in front of me, so I'm going by my feeble memory, is that if you sell your house, you're going to have to pay an excise tax. I think it's 2.3 or 3.5 or something percent of your house to help fund Obamacare. All these little provisions in the 2,700-page act that's going to cost us that a lot of people don't know, or like Nancy Pelosi says, you got to pass the bill to know what's in it.
Yeah. Well, the simple fact of the matter is that he doesn't say what he means, and people are not so stupid as to believe that. People do listen and do pay attention to what's going on, and what he's saying and what's happening in the world are totally different. And that's the first point. That's the first point. People do have a mind of their own. They do know how to think about things, and they do how to make up their mind. But the most important thing is the fact that this election is not going to be based on Obamacare. It's not going to be based on Obamacare. Our economy is falling apart right now. Our economy is going through the floorboards. We've got banks that are being downgraded. We've got states that are cities, major cities, that are applying for bankruptcy. We've got the economy is falling apart. That's what this election is going to be about, is the economy, not about Obamacare. People are going to totally forget about Obamacare. First of all, it doesn't happen until 2014. That's when things kick in and things are going to start happening, and that's when the whole world is going to settle in on top of people, and they're going to be falling apart, because that's when the money's going to fall on their heads. But there's not going to be any money there. We're going to be broke.
Speaking of being any money there, did you save me any cookies?
No, I didn't. Have we got cookies?
Well, not if I don't run this ad, we won't get any more samples.
Okay, run it.
So speaking of, we'll get some of the business out of the way. 646-721-9887, down boy. And today's program is sponsored by Dancing Dog Cookies. Check them out online, www.dancingdogcookies.com.
Good dog, Skippy. Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him, because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with Dancing Dog Cookies, because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them, and I'm sure you will too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
Check them out. They're available in select stores in Lane County, and also available online at dancingdogcookies.com, and they'll make you and your co-host, your dog and your co-host, perk up when they eat Dancing Dog Cookies.
Meow. If you have a co-host, you really need Dancing Dog Cookies, I'll tell you.
That's
I'm
right.
Sitting here, my computer is going bananas. I clicked on Firefox and said, it'll be a few minutes because we're updating.
Oh, I hate that.
I swear. Yeah.
Yeah, that's just like with as cars become more and more automated, you know, like the Google's automated driving car and more computer integrated. You can get into your car, the display comes up and says, please wait, updating software. But I have to go to the store. Updating. We're sorry, but your upgrade crashed. Please reboot.
What? In your car? It did this?
And we're getting to that point.
I don't. I'm driving a 1980s car. I don't know. I'm way behind.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of way behind, 646-721-9887. If you're listening to the program from the archives, you can still participate by sending us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. We always appreciate the emails, and we even read a few of them on the air as well. And if you're listening live right now, you can also join us in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/KRBN. And so, as a couple other things going on in the news, do you want to get to do more on Romney, or you want to get to Zimmerman real quick?
Well, I don't want to get to Zimmerman. I'm tired of Zimmerman. I mean, I think this the whole Zimmerman thing is just absurd. We're just, I mean, they're talking about when he was 8 years old, for God's sake. This lady is insane. So I don't think that's worthwhile. I want to talk about the whole world going bankrupt.
Okay, well, real quick, to summarize everything without saying what's going on. That's just like what I hate about on some of the news channels, the news updates. And the city council has voted in favor of Measure 9, which will take effect in 3 months. Okay.
And maybe in 3 months they'll tell us what it is.
Yeah. So what Cliff is referring to is, we'll just touch on it real brief here, is George Zimmerman, the Neighborhood Watch guy that was accused of murdering Trayvon Martin, is now in trouble again because if you want to take down somebody, throw sex into it, and that's just exactly what's going on here because apparently a woman 16 years old accuses George Zimmerman of sexual abuse when she was 6 and he was 8 years old. The woman, only identified as witness 9, stated that Zimmerman assaulted her numerous times, groping her with his fingers, kissing her, fondling her inside her pants, and inserting his fingers in her vagina. They also indicated that indicated that in 2005, when she was 20, she told her sister that something happened but didn't provide details. Her sister told her parents, who confronted Zimmerman at the time, and he allegedly said, "I'm sorry," and they never discussed it any further.
I tell you, when you're 6 and 8 years old, as far as I'm concerned, that doesn't count. I mean, you do need to be not reprimanded necessarily, but moved in the right direction and moved away from doing that sort of thing and keep let people. I mean, your parents need to let you know it's wrong, but that's not something you should be harassed about. Myself. We're getting really carried away with the sexual thing. It's experimentation, and kids do that when they're young. They experiment.
Well, they're also 2 years apart, and who knows? Maybe she was filling him over too. It's hard to say. But anyway, the article continues to also say that the same woman told Stanford police in a telephone interview released in May that Zimmerman and his family are racist against blacks. And they commented that growing up, he and his family made statements that they didn't like black people unless they acted white. It's like, oh, God, this sounds like a plant, like they did with Herman Cain.
Was she black, though?
Is she black?
Yeah.
It doesn't say that. I'm going to assume that she's Hispanic, just like Zimmerman. A white Hispanic, whatever that is.
Oh, yeah, I know. We're getting things so mired in what is and what isn't that it's just getting incredibly difficult to figure out what's going on. This whole black and white thing is...
Well, and I want to remind people, too, that we would never have heard of Zimmerman if the big O, Obama, didn't open up his mouth and bring this case to light, which is why it's been such a circus act. I mean, this probably would have been done and over with, but no, because President Obama... opened up his mouth and said, "Well, if I had a son, it would be like Trayvon Martin." And and of course, I go, "Oh, really? So you would have a son that's a suspected gang member? Sure, no problem."
Well, yeah, I don't. Again, see, I don't believe that he did this on purpose. I don't believe he didn't think. He didn't think, as he doesn't think about most things, as he doesn't think about most things. I will say that again, as he doesn't think or give thought to most things. He doesn't have the capacity. He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't have the intelligence. And that's why we don't want him there.
Oh, but you're wrong, Bugle Nose. Because here's the thing. It's called a magician's trick. And I've seen this before in previous administrations, is that we, as a public and the news media, we're mono-sided, basically. We can only handle one thing at a time. And when the government is doing something they don't want us to know about, they create a little bit of a stir, like with Clinton and whatever that gal's name was that we didn't really care about, but the media kept throwing it back in our face. while things were going on behind the scenes. And that's what they do. They, you know, they're doing something they don't want us to know about. Well, let's throw a racist or sex or something out there, and the media will go after it, just like throwing dancing dog cookies in the middle of the street and watching the dogs go after them. Send me a note, too, so they charge Tom for that extra plug.
Really. I agree that the media, I think, manipulates people by what they say, but I don't think that Obama. See, if Obama is using the media to manipulate the opinions of people, I don't think it's him doing it. I think he's being told what to do. I think he's being fed that information, and he's only parroting it, but he doesn't even know how to parrot it, so he isn't parroting it correctly. So he adds his own feelings into that, his own thoughts into what he's being told to say, and comes out with a third option that is totally wrong.
I don't know. I mean, just like the Eric Holder thing. Have you heard much more about that in the news after the contempt of Congress? Then they said that, well, we're not going to prosecute him. Okay, what next? I haven't heard anything else.
Well, I haven't been following the Eric Holder thing because I think it's sort of absurd on the face of it, because the different courts, they can do what they want to. It's amazing. He can't fight, even with, I think, Obama's help. He can't fight Congress. He just can't do that. Congress can do all kinds of things. I was Holder an appointee of the president for his position, for his office? What?
Yeah, I believe he was.
Well, they're the only, the Congress is the only people then that I know of that can get rid of him. And they, I think, are thinking twice about what they want to do, because, you know, we're talking about, you're destroying a life there. You're destroying a person's livelihood. When you're doing something like that, I think it's something to think about before they do it. And if you've gone to some court, whatever court it was, and they've made a decision about something like that, I would think twice about going after him again. But at the same time, the fact that they've gone as far as they have has got to be slowing him down. I don't like what the courts do. I don't like what Congress does. I don't like the way they interrogate people. I don't like the way they do that. So I don't have any pity or sensitivity for it myself. And so,
well, this is what I think about the card trick issue. I mean, on one hand, we got the Congress putting the contempt of Congress on Eric Holder, then the Department of Justice says we're not going to prosecute him. And then on the other side of the coin, Eric Holder held a speech the other day which required two pieces of photo ID to get in to see the speech, but yet he's suing Texas and others who are requiring some type of ID to go vote.
Now we're bringing up another subject entirely, and that's the voter ID. I really think we need to have voter ID, and it's not going to be that expensive. It's not going to cost that much. And if you want to talk about how much money it costs, let's find a way. If you don't have the money to buy your own voter ID, if you qualify for it, if you qualify for voter ID, and you don't have the money, then let the federal government pay for it. Because we're not talking about a lot of money. We're not talking about a lot of people. We're talking about some people who find it difficult to pay for that voter ID. Okay, if you qualify to get the voter ID, then let the government pay for it. Then the money we could save from doing that, I mean, it could save lots and lots and lots. I'm all for Texas. Yay for Texas. I totally agree with you.
In fact, if you want to really get down to the root cause of the thing, we wouldn't have to worry about it if they would have, you know, enforced the borders. We didn't have, you know, over 11 million illegal aliens in the country, and that's probably a conservative number. And you know they vote.
Yeah.
In some places, you know, with the Voter Act, it's easy for them to get registered to vote. But I guess as far as Obama's going, which is why a lot of them are, I'm not going to say because it sounds racist, but it doesn't want people to, doesn't want the ID Act. It's because, you know, go and vote. Exercise your right to vote. Vote many times.
Well, and interestingly enough, I worked for an electronic store in a mall in California, a big mall, in fact, a very, very big mall. And the Mexican people would come in, and they'd have two or three Social Security cards, not just one. And if you run their credit through under one Social Security card and it didn't go through, they'd give you another one. Here, try this one. We'll see if it goes through with that one. I mean, I just don't believe for a minute this is quite legal, and I don't believe that's the way it should go. But even then, that would probably qualify them to get the voter ID as it is. So the whole thing is, well, I still believe in getting voter ID. And we just, you know, the whole thing boils down to the fact that we should be enforcing the laws that we have. We don't need to worry about making more laws or anything else, but we should be enforcing the laws that we have. We don't do that. Nobody does that. We don't enforce the laws we have. And the fact that the federal government is trying to stop Arizona from enforcing laws, that's just, we've got something is totally wrong in this world. And that's why this whole thing, this whole election is not going to be based on this type of thing. It's not going to be based on immigration. It's going to be based on money. Simple fact, it's going to be based on money, because that's the jobs. Their lack of jobs is one of the big things. We've gone down. Again this month, things are falling apart, and not just in the United States. Everywhere.
Well, that's true, and I mean, everything's going up. Obama is still trying to find more ways to raise taxes. It's how much of our money do we have to keep throwing at the government? We don't have it.
Well,
jobs
we're
going away. Jobs are going away. In fact, one of the things that Obama's been hitting Romney with is outsourcing. Well, how many companies don't outsource? I mean, is that really such a big deal? I mean, if you get right down to it, Obama is outsourcing NASA.
Okay, if you want to get down to outsourcing, think about it. Would you like to pay $1,000 more for a television set, or $25 more for a portable radio? I mean, everything is outsourced. Things are outsourced, and that's beneficial to the United States. It's not harmful. The things you would have to buy if we didn't have outsourcing, a lot of things would quadruple in price overnight, because it costs more money in the United States to build things than it does in other countries. And so lots and lots of businesses are outsourcing, and including the United States government is outsourcing. We're putting out a lot of things to outsourcing. Yes, NASA is outsourcing. We don't have a satellite, a rocket to send people up what do you call that thing in the sky that's up there?
You mean the thing that shows up every often?
Well, yeah, every once in a while. The simple fact is we don't have what?
We got the moon or the space station, depending if you want
the space station. The space station I'm speaking of. But we can't get anybody there, and we can't get anybody home from there that's already there. So consequently, we do have to outsource, and we are outsourcing. And there's a lot of things that the United States is outsourcing. And so to say anything to anybody about outsourcing is just impossibly insane. And here we are. We're listening to the man. I don't think we are. I don't think we're listening to him nearly as much as everybody says we are, as the media says we are. I think when it gets down to it, we're going to find out that people are listening to conscience, are listening to common sense, and are going to make up their own mind. And I don't think this man, Obama, has a chance in hell of coming through with this thing. I just don't believe he is.
Well, and those people are just blindly going to go party lines, which I hope that they're not. But like I said, is that, you know, it's the most that they can find against Mitt Romney is his outsourcing. Of course, now they I don't have it in front of me. Somebody's saying that he committed fraud or felony on Bain Capital for outsourcing or something like that. It's like, again,
you need to take a look at that and listen to what has actually happened. Obama has said something. He's opened his mouth. And actually, it wasn't even Obama who did this. This is one of his staff. But there's no outsourcing. There's no felony in charge. He was, you know, you can own a company without being in control of the company. You can own parts of the company without controlling it. When you own it, there are certain things that you sign off on, is it to sell something or to do things with, and that you can have, so your signature could be on a document that has to do with that company and not anything be wrong. And he didn't, he just signed a couple of contracts or something, I don't even know what they were, that he had signed. There was no felony involved, no anything involved, and he's explained that over and over again on television, that it hasn't happened that way, and yet Obama, see, once it's been said on television, once it's said by the president, people listen to that. And so for Obama to say that, and he goes off on a tangent and says things that don't, without checking him out, without checking to see if they're true, and without finding anything, just like the Trevon thing, he just says things. He just opens his mouth and says things without any thought to what his responsibility is. And he just goes on and says, I don't think this man thinks, and I don't think he's capable of thinking.
Well, the felony thing was, and this is according to the Boston Globe, it says that, Obama's deputy campaign manager, Stephanie Cutter, on CBS's Face the Nation, said he's not going to get Romney is not going to get an apology. He says it was Cutter who prompted the demand with a comment, she said Thursday, after the Globe reported that Securities and Exchange Commission, filing a decade-old financial disclosure document, indicated Romney remained the sole owner and chief executive of his private equity firm until 2002. Cutter said in a conference call with reporters that Romney was either misrepresenting his own position at Bain to the SEC, which is a felony, or he was misrepresenting his position at Bain to the American people.
Well, he explained it already. As I say, he explained that his position there, that he was actually doing another job. He was actually working for the Olympics and doing that job. And you can own one company and not be doing something with it. You can own one company and be working at another company. And he can do that. And there's no felony involved. There's nothing even wrong with that, nothing legally wrong with it. And just because someone in whoever's organization, his organization or whoever's organization, doesn't interpret the law right, that isn't his fault. And that's one. See, again, Obama had listened to whoever he thinks is to his advantage to listen to, and then he passes it on as fact. And that's the thing that's going to get him in trouble, and that's the thing that's going to get us in trouble as a country if he continues doing it, and if we continue to let him doing it. It's scary what he's going to do to our country if we allow him to do it. He's going to screw us up to the point that it's going to be almost impossible to get us out.
Well, and also doesn't have I'm trying to find this information right now. But if Bain Capital is like a lot of organizations, they're controlled by a board of directors, and they just have a CEO in charge. There's not really a quote-unquote owner.
Well, he owned a part of it, or at one time maybe all of it. I don't know. But the thing is, he wasn't the CEO when he did that. He was just signing things off. And the point is, again, it's a misdirection by Mr. Obama's part, and I'm not sure that he even is aware that he's doing it. I'm just not sure that he's aware of what he's doing when he does it. And it's just too bad. It's really sad that he gets into this sort of thing. And not sad for him, sad for us as a country that we put him in such a position of importance and such a position importance, I guess, is the word and the only word I want to put in there, and let him continue in that position. We need to get rid of him. We need to get out from underneath that position, because he, you know, look at the position he's put us in overseas with different countries who are now hating us. Netanyahu and Mrs. Clinton are getting along fairly well now, but he has made people mad at us over and over and over again, and it's people who were good. I mean, look at Egypt. Egypt just about, they accepted the fact that, Mrs. Clinton went over there and made a speech, and they allowed her to do that. Most people in Egypt hate our guts because of the things that we've done and the things that we've said, and it all stems from Obama, nothing else.
Well, and I'll admit that, you know, the last couple of years has been kind of an embarrassment for the U.S. I mean, with our bowing and apologetic president, and we have offended some of our allies overseas, and frankly, I was kind of hoping for something different out of the Obama regime, but I think, you know, like I said earlier, it's that we got so much going on, and as a country, we can only do literally just one thing at a time, or focus on one thing at a time. And there's still people that still don't even know that the Obamacare went to the Supreme Court, because most people are trying to take advantage of their everyday lives. Now, if they want to really upset somebody, have Obama do something with football. You don't want to get people to touch it.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's true, I suppose.
The Oregon Ducks. Yeah. If you put down, I'm going to have a duck tax for the Oregon Ducks. Oh, my God. That would register on the Richter scale.
Yep. I agree with that. But the thing is, you kind of, that's almost the only thing he hasn't done. It's the only thing he hasn't touched on in some of his speeches and thoughts that he's made public, because he's just continuing on and on and rambling on and saying things, whether they're true or not, and getting himself in big trouble with every other word down the road.
Exactly. Speaking of every other word, 646-721-9887, if you'd like to chime in on this or anything else that's on your mind. We got less than an hour to go, so there's plenty of time. Give us a call, 646-721-9887. I also want to kind of touch a little bit about running mates, by the way. Apparently there's quite a list that's developing, and rumor has it more towards the top of the list is Condoleezza Rice.
Forget it. She's not even going to consider it. She won't consider it. She wouldn't want to degrade herself, debase herself, like becoming Vice President of the United States of America.
Okay, why do you say that?
Because she has intelligence. She's a smart lady. If she's going to do anything, she'd be better off waiting for 4 years or 8 years and becoming president. She could do it. She could definitely do it. She's one of the few people who could basically run this country and probably do a credible job about it. But I don't think she has any intention of debasing herself to the point of putting herself in the position of vice president. That's kind of a debasing position to be vice president. It's really, I find it a very, very bad situation. Look at Mr. Biden. He was very good and could have done a very good job, I think, as president. He does have a tendency to speak first and search foot once in a while. But he basically, if he was in the job of president, I think would have enough of people around him to control him and would do it much better. Plus, you know, I don't think Mr. Obama has any idea of what goes on overseas, what happens to the rest of the world, who our position is, should be with the rest of the world. And Mr. Biden would at least have an idea of how to do that. And as far as economy is concerned, I don't think – anyway, the point is I'm going on and on about something that's past and you can't do anything about. But the fact is that almost anybody could do a better position, better job in the position they are than Obama. But I don't think – and so many times they bring up these – who else is involved? I mean, these people, they bring up their name, and nobody gets it cleared with the person themselves. Who else have they got on the list there?
Well, they got – let's see. We got Chris Christie, Bobby Jindal, John Throne, T-H-U-N-E, however you pronounce that. Who else we got here? Bob McDonald, Rob Portman, Paul Ryan of Wisconsin, and Tim Plotney or whatever. By the way, here's a comment. This came out today from Condoleezza Rice, speaking at Stanford University near San Francisco, and she responded to the question. She said, "I am not going to run for vice president, and I have no intention of returning to politics. I feel good where I'm at right now."
You don't know who she is, do you?
That was Condoleezza Rice that said that.
Right. No, I don't know what she's doing now.
Oh.
Do you?
Well, let's see if I can find out.
I don't know.
Apparently.
Yeah, she's much happier. I don't blame her. I couldn't imagine being manhandled by the public like as much as you would as any of those high offices. I wouldn't run for vice president. I wouldn't run for president. I wouldn't run for any of the high offices. And she's done it. She's been there. She's done that. And she's put in her time. And it's not like she needs the money, I don't think. And so consequently, I don't believe she's in it for the glory. She originally did it to help the country, and she found that I believe that a lot of the country really doesn't give a damn.
Well, and like I say, don't really blame her, because like you just said, is that as soon as you throw your hat in the ring, you know, everything that you've ever done or even thought about doing is going to be highly scrutinized.
Yeah. And highly criticized in most instances for some reason or other. I mean, could you imagine? I couldn't imagine them bit by bit taking my entire life and tearing it to smithereens and telling everybody about everything I ever did. First of all, I'm much too clandestine a person to do that. I would be in trouble. I'd probably not get past the first step of vetting, because they don't be right away. But the point is, I wouldn't like it all to have that kind of a thing done to me. And for almost any office that you're going for, they really put people through the mill for all of these things.
Oh, yeah.
I like
what Jesse Ventura did when he was running for governor. You know, they started out with a scandal for him, I guess, from his childhood or early life or whatever. And he just turned around and said, "Yeah, it happened. Get over it. Let's talk about the issues."
Yeah. And, well, the only thing I'll have to say is, look how far that got him. Almost nowhere.
Well, got him in office, and he did one term.
Yes.
And he said that that's all he wanted was one term. He says, because he believes that you're there to serve, not to make it a career.
Well, I wish I could believe that's how I felt, but I don't really know that I have a whole lot of confidence in him. But that's a good thing to say. That's fine. I agree with that. But again, you know, it's really hard to decide who is doing the job. I mean, who's setting itself up for the position? Who wants to have any of these positions? Are they working for the people, or are they working to get their $1 million and go home or whatever it is? Because that's, you know, all of our congressional, not aides, but the congressmen and they're there to make money.
Well, see, and that's what I don't understand. If you you hit the nail on the head, is that if you take the money aspect out of it, in other words, in fact, you know, I thought there was gift laws and everything else that was supposed to prevent a lot of money going into it to begin with, but unfortunately, like with the super committee that was created, I think last year, year before, you know, there was millions of dollars being donated to the super committee. Like, what? You know, if you set it up that by law, you know, we'll provide housing for you in D.C. and we'll give you a salary, you know, 100 grand a year plus free transportation to and from, you know, and during that time, you're not, you know, you can't take any money on the side or anything like that. You're there for the privilege of being in that office. How many people? How many of those people up there now would just say, screw you?
I think about 90% of them. There are a few people in there who actually feel that they're doing a job for the American public, but most of them, it would be about 90% of them would actually go home. And I agree with that. And I would like to let them go home. And but, you know, I wouldn't mind, as a matter of fact, I wouldn't mind even giving them their $1 million, each one of them, and then turning them loose. We've got to make term limits on this whole, on all of Congress. Doesn't make any difference.
Well, you have some in a way. It's called voting for somebody else.
But we don't do it. We allow them to stay in there for 6, 8, 10, 12, 20. Look at the Kennedys. They stay there. They do make a career of it. And we've got to make that impossible for them to do. If they were just there for a certain amount of time, and they could do this job for a certain amount of time, and then they had to quit, and they had to go home, they could make maybe, you know, a couple $1 million or so while they're there, but then they have to go home. And they would then not be so interested in making money and gathering money and collecting money and getting donations, but we've got to make some changes.
Let them make their millions off the book deals after they're out of office, their books or speaking engagements or whatever. As soon as you're out of office and you're no longer in power, yeah, go ahead and capitalize on it as much as you want to. But while you're in there, have it that this is your salary. You're not there for your own personal gain. You're there for one reason, and that is to represent the people of your district.
Well, again, we need to go back and again push the fact that we've got to set back and worry about the election. We've got the election coming up here, and that's the most important thing that's coming up. This is an amazing thing that's happening, and just not too long from now on KR Hellebay, wrong station, KRBNRadio.com. I do have up on the website. You can click on there and you can find out. You can go right on the front page. You can go right straight to the two elections, the GOP and the Democratic conventions, and find out what's going on there. And you can. I would like to say you could do something about it. You could have an input to it. I don't think you can, but at least you can see what's happening, when it is, and how to get there. And that's an important thing. There's an election calendar, for one thing, that tells you all of the different things, that have happened already, as well as what's still coming up. For example, on June of 2020. The Americans electors having a presidential combination. On the July 13th, the Green Party is having their nominating convention. Let's see here, August 12th through the 14th is the Republican National Committee convention, and August 27 to 30 is the Democratic. August 27th to 30th is the Republican National Nominating Convention. That's when they're actually going to nominate, Romney as the presidential candidate. He hasn't been done yet. He's got enough votes to do so. He's the only one who has enough votes to do so, but he hasn't done it yet. It hasn't been done yet. And then on September 4th through 6th, the Democratic Party Democratic presidential nominating convention is taking place, and they're going to, and of course, Obama is it. Period. Well, I don't think he has to be it, but he will be. There's no doubt about that. But and then of course the November 6th is actual July election day in all 50 states, and that's what's coming up. But anyway, all of these things are available on the front of the page of the website. All the information on the front page of the website, you can click on it, and it'll take you there and show you what's happening and what they're going to be doing. And I make it all available, all very easy to get to and very easy to click on. So if you want to visit krbnradio.com, that's all you have to do is go there and click on the front page.
Exactly. But I was just looking up, since you brought up that question, has an incumbent presidential candidate ever not been nominated by their own party? And I guess it happened once, and that was in 1844. John Tyler didn't make it. So I guess it can't happen.
John Tyler was the incumbent?
Yeah.
Who did they say who won?
Let's see.
Who weased him out? I don't remember that. That's interesting. We could actually... I don't conceive of something like that happening, but it's possible.
Well, it's possible. Yeah, it's possible because they have to go ahead and officially nominate him, and it's just assumed that, you know, being an incumbent, that you're going to get the nomination, but it's no guarantee. But anyway, for Romney's side, I would like to see somebody, you know, even though he's still kind of young in politics, I'd like to see like somebody that's forthgoing, like a Chris Christie, or somebody that's really outspoken and won't take no for an answer.
Well, of course, we don't know what Chris Christie or some of these people will do, because they aren't in that position. They aren't doing that, and it might be totally different. You've got to be pretty thick-skinned, and you've got to have a pretty good strategy in order to run for the position that Romney's running for. I mean, the fact that he has went through as many debates as he's been through already. And he's answered all these questions, and he's made it and done it. And, of course, unfortunately, for a long time, people have been voting for him just simply because he's going to be there. Everybody figured, you know, we don't have any choice. But I just don't. He'll do a good job, I believe. He can do a good job. There's our country right now is still teetering on economics, still teetering on the fact that we are losing money every month. We're losing jobs every month. And I believe Romney can – what you need to do is go to romney.org, I believe it is, whatever it is, his website.
.com.
Is
that, hitromney.com.
And read what he said he's going to do. Because until you've read it, until you understand it, you aren't really giving him anything. You got to understand what his mind is working at, and he's got ideas. He does have ideas, and you can't, when you're out talking to people, you can't delve into those ideas in at length, because nobody will stay there and listen to you. So. But you've got to put them somewhere on, like on the website, and people can go in there and look at them and make up your own mind. And I think you'll find that this man has ideas. And we've had so many promises of all his things being transparent, all his ideas being transparent by Mr. Obama, and everything being on the website, and that's not true. He doesn't do it. So listen to the person who does what he says he's going to do, and then vote for that kind of a person, not this two sides
and
of your mouth.
And to take that point a little bit further down the line is that from what we've learned over the last 3.5 years, we should also work on, in a sense, bringing back the Constitution, because a couple of times there's been, with some other talk shows hosts have said impeachable offenses, but the whole point is that when the Constitution is only good when people follow it. I mean, just like the law. The law is only, we are a volunteer society. We voluntarily, most of us, follow the law. It's just those few people that don't, you know, that they get in trouble. But even then, that they only get in trouble if the people that enforce the law decide to enforce that law instead of picking and choosing, like what we're seeing in this administration. And so, but the point is that when the top three levels of government, the top three branches of government, when they decide that the Constitution gets in the way and they're going to ignore it, we're in trouble as a country because there is no other control. Then we become a monarchy. And in the situation, because the three branches control the military, even though it is in the Constitution that we do have the right to abolish our government and start anew, they ain't going to let that happen.
No, no. Well, we don't need to abolish anything. I will have to say one thing. Again, going to CaribbeanRadio.com, the U.S. Constitution is the fourth item down on the menu side of the page. And the one thing that when I go and look at all the statistics as to what the people are looking at, that's the most looked at website, I mean, part on the website, on this website. More people look at the Constitution, and more people spend more time reading the Constitution, because there are time. That's the only, probably what the only, well, there's a couple of things, but mostly our statistics show how long people have stayed on a page to look at it. And people will read that entire Constitution, and it's by far the most accessed point on our website is the U.S. Constitution. I'm very gratified that people are doing that.
Well, I have to admit, too, that in this last year especially, I have read more, I've read the Constitution more than I ever had in my life, because I'm hearing more and more things about how the president's not following the Constitution, or under Article 2 with the powers of the president, what he can and cannot do, just like in the most recent ad that he put out that, you know, Obama saying that part of his job is to create jobs. Well, under Article 2, it doesn't say that that's his job to do.
Well,
but like I said, I've been reading the Constitution more this last year than I ever have before, and it's really amazing. Just like I found out that under the Constitution that Congress and the president, while they're in office, is not subject to arrest. That's why Martha Stewart went to jail for insider trading, but it's common practice in Congress. And that's why we've been pushing for the 28th Amendment, is to hold these people accountable to the same rules that we're governed under.
Well, it's interesting because there's so many things you can read into the Constitution. It has a lot to do with the economy and a lot to do with the way the economy is working or not working, particularly in this particular case. I believe we're going to be judged, and I'm calling this election a judgment in this case, by the economy. And we've got states right now, whole states. One of the states that's running is made it a law. They passed a law that everybody is making minimum wage. Everybody in the government position is making minimum wage. Firemen, teachers, everybody making minimum wages. It's less than $8 an hour. And they've had to do that rather than declare bankruptcy. And there's going to be more people considering that or considering bankruptcy. There are cities that are considering bankruptcy. There are cities that they're being bankrupt. I mean, cities of 200,000, 300,000 people that are bankrupt. And it's going to go more and more and more. And this is not just the United States. This is the world at this particular point that's having a big problem. So we've got to get a handle on our problem in this country before we drag down the rest of the world with us. Now, I don't say that we're the responsible for making the rest of the world ill, as we say, but we are not doing anything to stop it. We're not doing our job to pull them out of it. And so we're going to have to do something to change things so that everybody gets a chance to pull themselves out of it. And it's going to get bad. I mean, I believe we're going to we're going to have a lot of states going bankrupt. We're going to have a lot of cities going bankrupt. And this is going to continue on until the federal government goes, well, bankrupt, which is just a matter of devaluing. See, we can't go on printing money, because when you print money for so long, there's going to be a point where it's going to collapse. And then all of that money is going to be worthless. And so then we're going to go down.
You can't keep doing like California doing, okay? You know, putting more and more restrictions on everything, that you're chasing business out.
Well, that's the thing. We've got to get somebody in there that knows that, that understands that. And we don't have someone in there that knows that position, that has enough sense to think about that. See, somebody who's had a position, in this case Romney, he's built companies. He knows what makes companies work and what doesn't make them work. And that can be translated to a country. That can be translated to different things in the country. And he's the one who knows more about that than Obama, and we've got to make a change there, because Obama's going to drag the entire country down with him before we get out of it.
Anyway, 2 points I want to bring out real quick. We've got 29 minutes remaining in the program. 646-721-9887. Still time to give us a phone call. And the other thing I wanted to point out real quick here, as I mentioned earlier about the Constitution, Article 1, Section 6 states that the senators and representatives shall receive a compensation for their services to be assessed by law and paid out of the Treasury of the United States. They shall in all cases except treason, felony, and breach of the peace be privileged from arrest during their attendance at the session of their respective houses and in going to and returning from the same. And for any speech or debate in either house, they shall not be questioned in any other place. So basically, I don't think that they were, when they wrote the Constitution, that they were expecting criminal activity from the representatives. They were just basically saying that, especially at the time, that they can talk about what's going on without fear of some authority coming in and breaking them up.
Well, you see, that's the thing about the Constitution of the United States. I believe you do have to take some liberties with it as far as interpreting is concerned, but you've got to consider when it was written, and there are some instances where their thoughts, people's thoughts back then, aren't the same as they are now. So the interpretation of that same document today is not going to be exactly the same as it was in the day that it was written. So that's why we've got to have someone who studies the Constitution and understands what it means. And do we have that person? Or
I don't know. I mean, there are constitutional lawyers, but does that also mean that the presidential oath of office, which says very simply, I solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully execute the offices of the President of the United States and will do the best of my ability preserve and protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. President Obama has stated on many occasions that the Constitution gets in his way.
Yeah, I can see where it would. Yeah.
Our borders are open, are wide open, and they're taking away, they're closing border patrol offices right now, making the borders even more open.
That's why we've got to put somebody in office who doesn't consider the Constitution in the way, who's somebody who understands the Constitution and can work within the Constitution, because regardless of how it's interpreted today as it was yesterday, if you stick with the Constitution, you can't go wrong, not totally wrong. And if there's something that needs to be changed in the Constitution, something that the Constitution is doing that is possibly wrong, it should be incredibly hard to make a change to it, and that's exactly the way it works now. So we need to get somebody in there who is willing to work within their parameters and work within the parameters of the Constitution and do that and not try to get around it. And every time I look at something in the news, Obama's going around the Constitution or using the Constitution to do something that's totally wrong, and he never stops. He's just, if anything, he must have an entire staff sitting there looking to see how he can do what he wants in spite of the Constitution.
Well, yeah, and if he doesn't like it, he just gives out an executive order.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's, well, of course, you know, the executive orders, I understand that other presidents have done that, but they've not been flaunting it. They've not done it to the point that we're getting around with things with it now. We've just, interpretation of how things should be done is something, again, this man who doesn't have any idea. His idea of how the country should be run, and why are we listening to him? Why are we not going back to his beginnings and understanding what he did when he was before he was president, and paying attention to that and taking into consideration of that when we allow him to do these things? This man comes from the most crime controlled state in the world. There's nobody worse than Chicago. Nobody worse than Illinois. And he was taught by the best as far as underworld characters is concerned. He was taught by the best as far as his next-door neighbor was concerned. Why are we listening to him as president? Why are we allowing him to do the things that he's doing as president? We shouldn't be. That's my point.
Exactly. In fact, I'm on the... it's called the presidency.ucsb.edu, and they have a whole list of presidential executive orders going way back to 1826. So, and it's all sorted out, so it gives you a whole nice list there. And it's definitely
does it show which president has the most?
I don't think it has the stats for that.
It'd be interesting to find out if Obama has invoked presidential executive. He just forgets everything, just ignores everything, and does what he wants to do. That's the whole thing. And it's going to end because in November we're going to change the makeup of the entire thing. I hope we don't go all Republican, however, because that'd probably be as bad as all Democrat is concerned. But if somehow he slides in there and gets into office again, I still think we will probably change and we won't be all Democratic. And then so I think he's gonna have to work harder to get his things done. But I just don't feel that he's going to do it. He's going to go in there and go. It'll be interesting to see who he does actually decide, who Romney decides as his running mate, though.
Yeah, it would be very interesting. Is there any limitations when he has to make that decision?
I assume it's at the convention, Republican National Convention, because they have to make a decision at that time who they're actually running. And so he has until then to decide.
Well, it'll be interesting, but, you know, to get back to a point that you're making is that people have to get more involved and not just go by the sound bites or when they go into the booth going, oh, let's see, well, I know that name. And with the media and the Internet, which I still think is a fad, the information is more out there, but people just have to take the time to get away from their football, get away from their American Idol or whatever thing. In fact, maybe what's that one show with Simon?
The X Factor.
Maybe we should do the vice presidency that way. And let people go ahead and call in, you know, vote on their cell phones and who they want for vice president.
Well, see, I'm sorry, I don't have any at all confidence in the vice presidency. I don't think it means anything, and I don't think anybody cares. It's a high position. I believe I remember Romney making the. A comment that he would like to have somebody in there who could effectively be president if for some reason they had to be. But I don't think it's that important a thing to do. I wouldn't even give it the importance of the X Factor.
Well, if nothing else, what I'm thinking is that if you put it in that realm, maybe more people will pay more attention to us, since that's kind of where we're at as a society.
But it doesn't make any difference, because the only person that it makes a difference to is the president. And if he doesn't give him a position of importance and doesn't give him anything to do, then he has nothing. He, you know, the president, and I feel, I don't think that we have a president I guess I have to think about this a little harder, but the thing has been in the past. The person who is running for president doesn't really consider sharing the job, and that's what you're talking about him doing. And I don't think that anybody will. I don't think Romney perhaps more than anybody else, but I still don't think he's going to share the job and give the vice president a big position to cover.
Well, speaking of vice presidency, I got an audio clip I want to kind of throw in here real quick. By the way, 19 minutes remaining in the program, 646-721-9887. And, of course, if I hit the right button, it kind of works better. Let's try this one.
For vice presidential running mate, the contenders are abound with challengers such as Condoleezza Rice, Chris Christie, Bobby Jindal, and Marco Rubio. But in the end, there can only be just one.
Okay, that didn't upload that good, so it's just noise.
And,
but sometimes doing it this way that we're doing on audio doesn't come out that good. But basically, I stole it from the Highlander. There can only be just one.
So I've never watched Highlander, so I don't know.
Yeah,
it gets lost on me. Whatever. Yeah. But the whole thing is, this is the important thing. We've got an election coming up. The important thing is on general election day, November 6th, is the whole thing that we're working towards. And so we've got to think about that and be prepared. Look into whoever you're looking for. Look into whoever you want to vote for. And I honestly believe if you actually do consider anything, even if you're basically considering Obama, if you look into what he does and what he's expecting, and you look into the other person and see what they're running on and what they're expected to do, you won't have any chance of voting for Mr. Obama. It'll, in this particular case, I find it unfortunate that it's going to be Romney, but Romney, between the two that are going to be running, and I believe they are, Obama and Romney, he's the only one to go for. He's the only one to do.
And let me ask you this real quick, as we start talking at the beginning of the program about Romney asking for Obama to apologize. Should he even give him airtime? In other words, even acknowledging that? Because in a way it's kind of going, you insulted me. I think you need to apologize. And, of course, Obama is saying, screw you.
Well, I don't really feel that the apology idea is foremost in this question. He's answering some of the allegations that he's made in that little five interview thing that he did over the weekend to try to just answer some of the questions he's brought up and some of the things that he's statements that he's made and some of the inferences that he's made. I don't think he's asking him to apologize. I think he's asking him to run a little more fair campaign. But again, I believe he's putting him on notice. The fact that if he doesn't want to run a fair campaign, I do believe that Romney can change it and run a pretty raunchy campaign also. Got to understand that Obama has technically put three times as many commercials out there about whatever than Romney has. But Romney has three times as much money as Obama has. So he has the possibility of putting out a lot more and campaigning a lot harder than he does. And he's just holding it back. I believe he's sitting there and he's allowing Obama to bury himself. I believe that he's doing that. He has the intelligence to be able to do that. He has the money to be able to do that. And Obama doesn't have either.
Well, I think you're right on that because, I'm not going to play it, but I have an Obama attack ad. And Romney is pretty much, it's hard to find something on him because he's pretty squeaky clean. And in fact, I wanted to kind of touch on real quick what Romney did, which is kind of unusual. And that was him speaking at the NAACP and how the media is misrepresenting it. And I got a quick little clip here I wanted to play.
If our goal is jobs, we have to stop spending over $1 trillion more than we take in every year. And so to do that, I'm going to eliminate every non-essential, expensive program I can find. That includes Obamacare. And I'm going to work to reform and save.
Okay, and this is what the media has been pushing, but they didn't play, they didn't talk about the whole event where it ended in a standing ovation.
I you must be listening to different media than I am, because in the media that I've been listening to, which is basically Fox and CNN, they have been. And they did talk about the standing ovation. In fact, they're talking about the only one time that he was booed and the only one time anything was wrong was that particular statement he made about the Obamacare. And about seven other times, he didn't receive a standing ovation at most of them, but he did receive ovations. And then at the end, he received a standing ovation. So amazingly, they by pushing the fact that he got booed at the beginning, that was a very short period of time. Most of the news media that I have seen and has basically calmed down and backtracked on that and admitted to the fact that he actually has done better than that. And Obama, he of course will sit there and pick up on just the bad parts, and of course he only has that one bad part, so that's what he's going to stop on and continue to push with that one bad position. He did very well at that, and the thing that they didn't put in there, in your little thing there, was the fact that everybody has, he has, I saw an interview on CNN and an interview on Fox, both, and they were with different people, but they both were on with black leaders, and both of these leaders said that he should change his speech so that it fit the audience. Change his speech so that he fit the black NAACP, but he didn't. He kept his speech exactly like it always has been. He stepped on the same toes that he always has, and
right.
Consequently, I really believe he's done well for that. He's not changed it. He hasn't made it a special speech for different places. He doesn't change it anywhere. He's got the same. He has the same steps.
Well, yeah, because
if you change
the speech for your audience, then you could be considered that, well, of course, racism, but favoritism.
Well, and if you change your speech for the audience, you no longer have a position. You no longer have a point. You can make it be anything. And so you don't accomplish anything that way. So then you'd be Obama all over again, because he does change his speech for the people. I heard him do his speech
NAACP.
it was definitely different, and it didn't follow anything. He changed it entirely, and so you could say anything you want to, and it doesn't. And then again, he says what he wants to, but does something different.
Uh-huh. No, I totally agree with you in that respect. Because then you get back to what Obama is doing as far as being the used car salesman, you know, basically
yep.
saying whatever the audience wants to hear.
Yep. And that doesn't accomplish anything, because you haven't said anything then. If you're saying whatever your audience wants to hear, you haven't said anything.
You're exactly right. And being consistent is a big deal. We don't want to, again, that's why I refer to Obama's used car salesman. So Romney's got some good points. It's just that, I don't know, I guess I have to agree with some of the other medias when they're just saying that, maybe he needs to be a little bit more aggressive, but maybe you're correct about your theory that he's letting Obama, kind of like the way Reagan did against the Soviet Union, they just, you stand back, you let them throw everything at you and exhaust your money, exhaust everything you have, and then you come back and you hit them at that point.
Well, I think that's what Romney's sitting there doing. Romney's letting him sit there and scream and holler and yell and get all this stuff out of his system and accuse him of everything under the sun. But when it comes down to it, this whole election is going to be based around the economy and the jobs and the things that the United States is needing most. And when it gets down closer to where it counts, then is when I believe that Romney is going to spend his money and spend his time, and he's going to and the thing is, he's been consistent about that. He hasn't changed his mind about that. He hasn't changed his position that I've been able to see. His position is pretty much, other than the fact, of course, as you go along, you modify it just a little bit. Basically, he has not changed his position about the economy. He knows what needs to be done. He knows how to do it, and he's considered, and of course, the big point is he's going to abolish Obamacare because that's one of the biggest problems with our economy. But then the other thing is you can't stop all the spending entirely, but you can't, no matter how many taxes you put on, or how large a tax you put on, or how many taxes on rich people you put on, or even if you put them on put taxes on everybody, you can't tax your way out of this entirely, because the general population, if you put enough taxes to tax your way out of it the way Obama's doing, the population would rise up and scream and holler and yell and they'd revolt, and as is shown in two or three countries in Europe where they are doing exactly that. They are trying to tax their way out of it. They are trying to cut their spending, and the people are getting upset about it. They are going to revolt. So we've got to, this has to be a very touchy thing, a very special thing as to how we put work our way around this whole mess we've dug ourselves into. And we may end up with revolt. We may end up with people in revolution all over the country. And if the United States ends up in a revolution, you can bet your life that most of the rest of the world will do the same thing.
Well, one thing that does scare me, though, is one of his campaign ads is, he says on the first day as president, he will abolish Obamacare and replace it with something else. And it's kind of like, I don't know. Maybe what we need to do, I mean, having a nationwide healthcare system is probably something that we need, but I think we need to kind of focus more on getting our country back on track as a higher priority at the moment.
That's what I think is going to happen. He can abolish Obamacare. It wasn't going to start until 2014 anyway, so he has plenty of time to figure out exactly what he wants to do. And again, check his website out. You'll find out a lot about what he wants to do with it. But we've got to get the country financially arranged before anything else. And we don't do that by spending money and giving away government jobs. That's not the way you put the country back on track. You've got to do other things towards regulations and things like that so that the rest of the country can decide, ready or not, the people with the big money, the big bucks folks, we like to think we could tax them to death, but we've got to leave them to a certain point because they're who we're depending on. The people with a little bit of money are the people who do the jobs, creating jobs. It's not the government that creates jobs. It's the people who create jobs. It's the government who tries to make a stable enough position and a stable enough situation that you know what's going to be coming two or three or four years down the road so that you can then depend on that and make your job to making jobs a decision dependent based on that position that you're going to. Because as it is, everything is a year maximum. Most of the things are 3 months. You don't know what's going to happen six months, 8 months, 10 months down the road. And most companies, or big companies or small companies, can't make their decisions based on 3 months or 6 months or even a year. You need your 3 or 4 years down the road to make decisions on and decide what to do. And we don't have that. We don't have that solidity in our government. That's what we need to get. And I think that's what you'll find Romney putting in position is, you know, I'll make this decision and I'll make that decision, and then we'll stick with it and stick with it until it can actually do something. And that's what's going to change and make our government come back, or make our jobs come back, and that's what we've got to have. You can't live with this. Nobody has a job.
Well, and to throw that into perspective as well, and again, we've got 4 minutes remaining in the program, is the penalties for, the tax for Obamacare, if you don't have the qualifying tax, which will go into full effect in 2016, would be $695 per person, up to 3 times that amount per family. And that formula can be, so if you take the maximum penalty, if you make over $37,000 a year, it would be $2,085. If you are making less than $9,500 a year, there's no penalty. So, and there's various situations, like if you lose your job during the middle of the year or something like that, you can still be hung out for a penalty tax at the end of the year. Plus the fact, if you look at 30% of the companies are deciding that they're not going to offer any insurance because of the mandate, which means you have to have it. Well, health insurance is not cheap. And again, it has to be qualifying health insurance, so that could cost you a couple hundred dollars per month, so it'd be cheaper to pay the penalty at the end of the year.
That's the whole thing. It's going to throw the whole thing, that and whether it's 2014 or 2016, it's going to throw the entire thing into chaos. So unless they can figure it out before that time, we're going to end up with total chaos. And we've got enough chaos as it is. I don't think we're going to have to bother with that because, you know, if Obama stays in as president, the whole thing is going to collapse before then anyway, so we aren't going to have to worry about that. It's all going to come to an end. So that we've got to get somebody with a vision of how to do things in there, somebody with a vision of, again, the Republican position has been mostly turn it over to the states, turn it back to the government of the states. Don't let it be federal, everything be federally subsidized. Don't let everything be federally controlled. I mean, we're working towards a federal government running everything in our life, and that we don't like. We'd like to have a little bit more control over things in our life than that, and that's one of the big things that's going to make a big change. Again, I don't see Obama getting there. We're, all the polls right now are neck and neck with everybody. Every poll I've seen so far, especially today and yesterday when I was looking at television, the polls are right at neck and neck. I mean, literally 47-47. And so that's what's going
to
happen.
It'd also be nice to hear somebody in the high office looking for ways to help get the economy back going instead of looking for more ways to try and raise money for the government. Because in many respects, you know, I think the government is, well, they're too free with our money. Let me put it that way.
Well, and so that's why they always want more money. And we can't tax our way out of this. This taxing our way out of this is going to end up in revolt.
Exactly. Like I say, when it hits your pocketbook in a couple of years from now, when Obamacare fully sets in and people are going, what happened to my refund? Well, you guys wanted Obamacare. Well, congratulations. Guess what you got?
I agree. Well, we're coming to the end of the time, but it's too bad we haven't had anybody chime in here and help us out with this. We should try to remember this next week. You've got to give us a call and let your opinion be known, because we'd like to know what you think about.
That's right. And if you missed the program, you can always listen to us on the archives and send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. We'd love to hear from you and suggest a topic, whatever's on your mind. We'll talk about anything and usually do. We'll see you next week.
Have a good one.
If you like today's show, please let us know by visiting us on Facebook and clicking on the like button. You can also get show updates on Twitter and on our website at www.krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.